Welcome to the Holistic Health Podcast, where we delve into topics that bridge wellness and science for the skin, gut, mind, body, and soul. This podcast is brought to you by Gvome, where we believe that each of us has a unique ecosystem and path to reach our full vitality.
I'm your host, Dr. Raja Sivamani, an integrative physician and an Ayurvedic practitioner. Gvome is the notion that our jiva, the Sanskrit word for vitality and the essence of life, merges with our many ecosystems that compose our biome to form our unique Gvome. This podcast is meant for educational and informational purposes only. None of the information presented here are a substitute for professional medical care, and this podcast does not constitute medical advice. If you have a medical concern, please consult with your physician. Welcome, everyone. We are talking gratitude just with Thanksgiving upcoming. And I'm joined today with Dr. Ashley Dumont, who is a naturopathic doctor. Welcome, Ashley. And what a better time than now to talk about gratitude.
Hello. Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this topic, especially with Thanksgiving coming up and everything that's going on.
There's so many things that we can be stressed about in our daily lives. And there's so many things that can hold us back from achieving subjective happiness or our sense of happiness. And there's a lot of reasons to be stressed. I mean, we seem to, especially in the COVID time, I mean, we're not able to see family as much. We're not able to interact with our friends as easily. We're not able to socialize as easily. So how do you approach gratitude in this sort of a setting? And what's the secret there?
Yeah, I think the big secret is that you have to practice it daily and that it's an effort to practice daily. It doesn't come easily to people, especially as you mentioned during this time when everyone is really stressed out and there's a lot going on. So I think that the secret is just consistency with practicing gratitude daily. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. But it's just really getting yourself to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So do you talk to your patients about gratitude? And this doesn't have to be just about patients. Because one of the things that's very striking to me, I mean, when you look at even the Buddhist monks or folks that have gone through a lot of trials and tribulations, whether they were in internment camps or whatnot, I mean, I've had some patients even personally, and I've learned so much from just listening to how they've approached life, because I thought they had so many reasons to be upset, so many reasons to be cynical, and so many reasons to be jaded. And I always thought it was a side effect of just your situation, but I learned from them that you actually have more control than we realize, and you can actively think about gratitude and you can try to focus on the positive. So what is your approach when you're thinking about gratitude? How do you do it with patients and how do you weave it in even personally?
Yeah, for me, it's a foundational element of health. And I do talk about it with all my patients, not directly as gratitude, but as more of a reflection and meditation, and then weave in the gratitude practices that way. So whether that's mantras or journaling at the end of the day or reflecting just with your thoughts and not even writing anything down, but trying to bring that up every single day and just get better and better at practicing gratitude and reflection so that you have better insight to how you're feeling and then how you react to others and how you see the world differently.
So I think you touched upon one thing there that I wanted to talk a bit more about, which is the journaling. And we are going to get to the science of gratitude too, aren't we? I mean, there's been so many studies looking at gratitude. I think there's a lot of things that I didn't realize that have been uncovered in the scientific realm and clinical research. But talk a little bit more about journaling. How do you build in journaling and how has that changed your life or perhaps the lives of some of your patients?
Yeah, I will say that I have journaled. I've journaled for so many years now, and it's so nice at the end of the day just to, at least for me in my personal experience, to just jot all my thoughts down. That way I don't wake up in the middle of the night with thoughts in my head just going over and over certain things. It's nice to get things down on paper, and I feel that that's the same way with my patients too. They feel more relieved after they get their thoughts down on the paper, and it can be as regimented or non-regimented as you'd like. It could just be writing a few words down at the end of the day or in the morning to set yourself up for a positive day. Or it could be these long papers that you just write all of your thoughts down and really have better insight. So I like to leave it open for patients to find what works best for them. I don't like to have such regimented routines for them if that doesn't work in their schedule. So I leave it up to them and we have that conversation on what would work best for them and how they can incorporate it easier into their lives.
Yeah, well, I see that a lot of spiritual cultures will also use, I think, a very interesting approach. It's kind of an offshoot of journaling, where if you have negative emotions, negative energies, if you have someone that you can talk to, obviously, that's great. If you can confide in someone just so that you can get those negative emotions out or talk about those stresses. but they also have this unique approach where you write down all of the negative emotions that you want to release mentally. And what they have done is sometimes they will burn the piece of paper in the name of trying to be more environmentally conscious, perhaps put it into a piece of paper. It's kind of like journaling, but then just shred it or do something where you release it and you have that physical release. And I think as much as we want to focus on positives, I think having these approaches to release negative energy is also really important. And have you ever talked to your patients, or do you do this with your own, you know, circle of friends? I mean, have you taken this sort of an approach before? Because I find it very interesting and I've done it myself. I think it works actually better than I had initially thought.
I love that concept. And I think it's always great to have someone to talk to at the end of the day as well, that you feel comfortable with to share these negative emotions, right? Our culture prohibits us from expressing these negative emotions, and they're valid, they're true, they're there, and experiencing them is a part of life as well. So as much as we would like to focus on the positive, we do have to express the negative emotions. That way they don't get stuck within ourselves and get buried deep. And then that just gets into a snowball of other negative effects that we can talk about at a later podcast time. But yeah, I think it's really important to get those negative emotions and feelings out in the open, and then you feel so much more relieved afterwards.
Yeah, and I think there's some health implications in holding resentments. In fact, if you look at Ayurvedic medicine, and this is probably not just limited to Ayurvedic medicine, but in Ayurveda, if you have resentments that you hold inside, they are still converted into energy. And the energy can basically manifest as some sort of imbalance in the body. It will manifest as an imbalance, either mentally, where you're not able to sleep well. I mean, we see this a lot. If someone's carrying some resentment or some stressor, you might not sleep well and you just don't know why, or you just don't sleep at a high quality, or perhaps just going through the day, you have this fog. And I'm not talking about brain fog necessarily, but might be emotion fog, or it could be some trigger points that just normally wouldn't trigger you, but you get triggered more easily. I think anytime you carry resentments, and I've seen this even on the skin, we see that if people are harboring resentments or even grief that they don't express, the body will release it somehow. And sometimes it shows up with rashes that come on the skin or itching that comes up on the skin. So I feel that the body will convert it and find a way to cope if you don't actively look to try to cope with it.
Exactly. And I was just going to bring up another example too. I loved how you talked about the skin, and in naturopathic medicine and also Chinese medicine too, the organs are related to emotions. So for example, the lung is associated with sadness. So maybe if someone harbors a lot of sadness, they may be prone to things like bronchitis or upper respiratory infections, and the liver is associated with anger. So if someone has a lot of anger and resentment and stores that in their body, that can manifest through the liver as skin conditions. Like you mentioned, the rashes, the irritated skin, the redness, the inflammation, that sort of thing. So it's another concept of looking at how emotions really manifest in the physical body.
Yeah, I think the liver part in Ayurveda, the liver is the house of Pitta, and Pitta is associated with anger and inflammation. So there are connections that are made there. And, you know, a small example, even like psoriasis, if you have psoriasis, we know that it's an inflammatory condition and that also affects the liver as well. So we see, you know, many conditions where we see this sort of an overlap. Now, we were going to talk a little bit about the science of gratitude, because we don't want to just talk about all the negative emotions out there. Obviously, we want to get those out, but I want to turn our mind to gratitude and what that truly means. So how do you define gratitude? What does that mean to you, Ashley?
Yeah, so for me, gratitude is just the state of being grateful and reflective and also aware, being present and aware. So that's what I think of when I think of gratitude. It could be for yourself, could be for others, it could be for your pet, it could be for a lot of things, but just the state of gratitude and just being grateful.
You know, I'm a firm believer that while we all want to multitask, I do think that as humans, we can't truly multitask and do two things at once really, really well, especially when it comes to thoughts. Sometimes you can have muscle memory and you can do one thing and do another thing. So, I mean, I clearly multitask. Ashley, you multitask all the time. We know that we multitask. But I think when it comes to emotional state of mind, the more negative thoughts you have, I think the less room you have for positive thoughts. And the more positive thoughts that you put in, I truly do think that you become more and more resistant to negative thoughts overriding. I mean, you're still going to have negative interactions maybe, or negative emotions or stresses, because that's just part of being human. But I think you become more resistant. And that's something that I've even found in myself, is as I started practicing gratitude, and I love your definition of just, you know, being grateful. That's literally, you know, it's simple. But I think expressing that really matters. I mean, keeping it internally is one thing, but I think it's really important to express it. I think when you see something that you really appreciate about someone, focus on that. And I think you'll start seeing people in a more positive light. And I think that self-reflects back to you as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's done enough. I don't think people are grateful for one another enough, or at least don't express it enough. So the more that we can do that, definitely the better. And to your point about these cyclical patterns of happiness or anger or whatever we think about, it's true. We know that neurons that fire together are wired together. So those neural connections and neural pathways, it is a negative feedback loop essentially. And if you can choose, you have a decision whether that's positive thoughts or negative thoughts or anger or whatever emotion you choose to have, you'll just keep going with those thoughts.
Well, perhaps before we jump into the science of gratitude, you know, with 2020, I hear many jokes about this and we're all just saying, let's get through 2020, let's get to 2021. But what are you grateful for with 2020?
That's a great question. I'm grateful for so many things. Essentially, I'm grateful for my family. Although I'm far away from them, you know, we make sacrifices in life for the people that we love. And every time I'm down or, you know, I'm sad for being so far away, I'll talk to my grandmother, for instance, and she's the one that kind of picks me back up and dusts me off essentially and really supports me in that way. And just to know that you're doing something that's bigger than yourself and you're doing something for your family is a really good feeling. And to know that you have those people who may not be physically close to you, but are always there to support you, I'm absolutely so grateful for them and for that experience.
Yeah, I can tell you that there are a few things that I could even think that you probably are grateful for. You've now graduated. I would imagine that you're pretty grateful for that as well.
I am, yes.
And even me on a personal level, I haven't seen my mother in a long time until pretty recently. And I only saw her because we had to attend a funeral in the family and we had to attend that. And we did it through Zoom, but I got to see her in person. But I'm grateful that my family's healthy for the most part. And I'm also grateful for being able to spend a bit more time with the immediate family that I have, whether my wife is happy about it or not. I have to spend a bit more time with her because we just hang out in the house now for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I'm also grateful for all the people that I still get to see. I mean, I still have patients coming in. I'm so thankful that they're able to be healthy and we're able to take care of them and that, you know, they're able to still address their issues and have conversations. I just feel a bit more alive when I see people and converse with people. And I'm very grateful for that as well.
I love that. I'm sorry to hear about your family member that passed, but I'm happy that you were able to connect. I feel like, unfortunately, funerals have that way of connecting us with family members, maybe some who we haven't seen in a while. So,
yeah, well, you know, in this case, it was my grandmother, and she was almost 96 years old.
Oh, wow.
And you know what made it helpful? She seemed grateful just throughout this last year of her life, even with COVID and whatnot. You know, she was very grateful for a lot of things. And, you know, there are ways to pass either more peacefully or not. She was much more peaceful, passed away in her sleep. And I just find that, you know, her gratefulness made us even more grateful for just having the time to spend with her. And I know that, you know, her children, my mom, were grateful for the opportunity to be with her. Even during this time of COVID, she was at home. She passed away at home. So I think there was a lot of gratefulness around that as well. We're also grateful to the doctors that actually suggested that she stay at home. Because if she was in a hospital right now, my heart goes out to a lot of those folks that are struggling in hospitals that can't have visitors as often. And we were lucky in this case because we could have visitors and could hold her hand, you know, as she's passing or say nice things to her as, you know, near the end of life. And all those things just make a huge difference in just our sense of happiness.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the science of gratefulness. Now, it's not just a matter of being happy, which is obviously very important, but there's some health implications, isn't there, with gratitude? And I think you've pulled some studies looking at gratefulness. So do you want to talk about them?
Yeah. So I found a study looking at 42 women who had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And this part of the study was that for every day for 2 weeks, they would describe their psychological well-being. They would describe what they had for social support and their coping skills. And after the 2 weeks, they had a significantly higher quality of life and their outlook was much better, which is really fascinating considering they had been just diagnosed with breast cancer. So just the act of describing your social support and coping mechanisms and how, and being real with yourself and how you're doing in your psychological well-being, in this case, had a positive outlook for these women.
Yeah, I think that gratefulness also just puts you in that positive state of mind. So, you know, I think that positive energy clearly translates to something positive, even at the health level. Yeah, and I have a study here, which I think is really worth talking about. This was a study where they looked at 175 undergraduate students in one of the studies. In another study, they had 119 women. So they were adults. Some of them were in the intervention group, and there was a control group as well. But the idea was to really think about being kind and performing kind acts. Here was the punchline in the study, which I thought was very interesting. And they mentioned this too. They say, happy people became more kind and grateful by counting their kindness interventions and how they were being kind to other people. So happy people have more happy memories in daily life in terms of quantity and quality. And they scored higher in their motivation to perform and their recognition of kind behaviors. So not only by being grateful does it make you more kind, you receive other kind gestures, you're ready to receive them more. So it becomes this positive loop where the more grateful you become, the more grateful you become, which I think it's so nice that we have a way of just getting the ball rolling. Just reach out to someone, and even if it's weird and you haven't done it in your life before, thank them for something. And if they're not used to seeing you thank them, they might say, what is going on? And you can just let them know, you know, I'm now practicing a different approach to my life. I want to start being grateful and don't want to take things for granted. And I think even saying that can get the other person to start realizing, oh, you know, this is a genuine way that this person is approaching something, and they may start introspecting as well. But I think just taking that first step to be thankful and expressing it. And I think that's why Thanksgiving is a great time to start this. Express your thanks to those around you, and that way they're witness to your gratitude, and then it becomes a community of gratitude. And I think it's a great way to get the ball rolling.
I think we just unlocked the key to happiness through gratitude. But you're absolutely right. I think now with Thanksgiving, there's a lot of ways we can express gratitude, whether that's written with a lovely letter, which is kind of my preferred way. I'm old fashioned in that sense, but telling them personally how you feel and how lucky they are or you are to have them in your life, or even just giving back, whether that's, I know now with COVID, it's a little difficult, but going to serve people for food or going to help prepare care packages for people, or even with Christmas coming around the corner as well, doing little acts of kindness like that can add up your gratitude points, I guess you can say.
Gratitude points are key. Now, with the history of Thanksgiving, I know there's a lot of mixed emotions around Thanksgiving. So I just do want to talk about that very directly. We know that the history of Thanksgiving isn't all just roses. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy on just how this whole thing was built up and how, you know, how nice were we to the Native Americans. And I think we need to be very mindful of what the Native American community had to go through with a lot of the European invasion into North America. Truly, that's what it ended up being. But I think now that we have this time where we are able to meet with family, my goal is always to try to be positive about moving forward. Let's not forget, let's realize that, you know, there are other folks that we still have to focus on and help and make sure that we don't make it forgotten what people had to go through to get to where we are in that state of the country. But I think we should also think about how can we be positive. So take this time to just express thanks. Take this time to express gratitude. And I think that you'll see that it comes back to you, but it'll come back to others. And then it doesn't become about a holiday anymore. It's about a way of life. And we actually talk about this in Ayurvedic medicine as well. Gratitude helps increase this concept of ojas, which probably maps to this whole notion of vitality and life force, and probably similar to what qi is considered in traditional Chinese medicine. But the way you grow that is by expressing things to other people of how appreciative you are. And it helps bolster and balance what's known as the ether element, because ether is really community-based. And so the more you express gratitude, the more you lessen your ether imbalances, which really does translate into more grounding and a better sense of happiness overall.
I love that, bringing it not to just the holiday season, but to every aspect of your life as well. That's really important.
So Ashley, with that, I want to just thank you for taking time. And let me start here by saying I'm very thankful for having the opportunity to talk to you about gratitude. I'm also thankful to all of you that have spent a little bit of time to listen and find just those little elements of gratitude that we all have, and let's put more positive energy into the world and turn 2020 into what we want it to be, which is end it strong and look forward and optimistically to 2021.
Yes, we still have a chance. And thank you for having me, and thanks for everyone for listening.
This is the Holistic Health Podcast, brought to you by Jivong, where we believe that cultivating a healthy ecosystem unique to you is important to living vital and living well. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to our channel, and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and visit us at jivong.com. Check out our membership options to take your health to the next level.